welcome to the June Lake Improvement Association meeting. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Brian Miller, and we appreciate you being here on this beautiful Saturday. If you would, join me and stand up and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. We'll get kicked off here right away with Ted Berkey with our financial report.
Good morning. For those of you that can see the financial statement, you'll note that we had a good, we're up year to date. Right now, the checkbook balance is $38,069, and money in the foundation is the facility that we use to make things tax deductible, or that we are able to not pay sales tax. The foundation has $20,117. Those are prior to money that will come in from the pontoon sales, and we've received another donation from the Moose for $1,473. So those numbers are not in there yet, so we're okay. Our money for the building, you'll talk about that? The building?
Shelter House?
Yes. And the shelter house is fully funded. We're just short a bit. Brian will talk about that. Questions?
Thanks, Ted. Just to cover a little bit, you know, our financials are good, as Ted mentioned. Our number one, as you can imagine, fundraiser, I guess you call it, or income, is our membership, which is all of you, which we very much appreciate. Our second is our Barstool Open, which we'll talk about here in just a little bit. Flyers are going to be coming out soon on that. And then our dance, our icebreaker dance, which Jeff heads up and a lot of us are involved with. But the third one, the last one in, is our pontoon raffle, which nets us $10,000. So with that, I'd like to invite AJ Mast up to go over that. I just can't thank the Boathouse enough for their partnership on the pontoon raffle. They brought this idea to us a couple of years ago, and we took the leap of faith. They told us it would work. We weren't sure. And then this year, they're like, hey, let's sell another 100 tickets. Of course, pontoon was a little bit more this year. Yep. You know, like anything else, prices are going up, as we all well know. And I thought, wow, another 100. Can we do that? Well, we did it very successfully. So I've got a photo up here of the winner of the pontoon, and we did a little thing with Brian Morris, and I did something with AJ and his mom here the other week, but that's when we give them the check. So now today they're going to give us the check. So AJ, Mike Shears, if you'd like.
I'm AJ Mast from the Boathouse at Grand Lake, and first and foremost, I'd like to thank everybody that did participate and bought a ticket so that we were able to do this, and congratulations again to the winners. On that, I have a check here for the LIA. And thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Thank you. Have a good day.
We're going to turn AJ loose. I told him he could just give us a check and get out of here because he's already been upside down in a wake boat this morning working on it. And what did you say? You're delivering two new ones today?
Yeah.
Two new ones today, and I'm sure he's got plenty of others to work on. So, AJ, thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Wish you guys a great summer. Hold on. So the Boardwalk Bike and the Boat and Bike Show went well. Michael Edmonds, who isn't here with us today, oh, you know Michael, one of our trustees, he mentioned that our cornhole toss jackpot got hit at $740. So if you've ever been there, we've got, what is it, a 50-foot cornhole toss. And he sent a text out, and I was like, oh, shit. So somebody got us for $740, but we still made money at the Boardwalk Bike and Boat Show. It's a great event. So appreciate your support if you were out there with that. We did also work actively to get new members. So that was a good event for us. Next thing up is our Grand Lake Rec Club. Great partners of ours, Brad Fisher, their president's here with us today. Everybody knows Brad. Their 13th annual bicycle poker run is next Saturday on the Montezuma bike path on the south side. If you've never done this, it's a great time. They're going to kick it off with registration at the Bayview Pub, 10 to noon. Brad said the new owners are very excited to be hosting this event for them. Pre-registration can be done at Bayview and Shingle Shack starting May 15th, well, for a month now. And then you got to be back at Bayview at 4. Brad, you got anything you want to add to that? Okay, so they've got a raffle as well. So, hey, even if you don't want a bike, stop out there and buy a raffle ticket and check it out. It's a great time. And Brad will gladly take any volunteers that would like to help that day with parking cars or helping count the cards afterwards, right, checking hands afterwards, or whatever you might want to do. Brad will gladly accept your help. So I just can't say enough about the Rec Club, the great partners they are. I know they're going to be helping with the Governor's Cup Regatta we're going to talk about here shortly. And just I mean, I don't know if you've been out. If you see a tree cut off in a channel, it most likely was, it could have been the state, but most likely it was a rec club. They're just out there all the time doing things. I know Brad was telling me they just got a new sonar unit, and he's actually got the BCI, Bureau of Criminals Investigation, bringing a specialist in to teach them how to run it so they can be very effective with it. Let's just hope they need to use it to find stumps and rocks and not anything else, but if they need to, they'll be available. So what a great organization that's been around for many, many years. Speaking of the Governor's Cup Regatta, that's going to be coming up here June 21st through 22nd, bringing it back after many years of not having it. If you've not been around for it before, it's based over on Lakeshore Drive here on the northwest corner of the lake. So make sure you get out and check that out that weekend. H2 Ohio, we're still working. I was talking to a few of you before the meeting today. Our state senators and representatives are working on the next operational budget. And actually, the H2 Ohio has been a point of contention. They're wanting to reduce the funding. But as all of you pretty much know, listening to Teresa talk and Stephen Jackman talk, it's pretty critical funding for us for our treatment trains. We do utilize that funding quite often, and Teresa even utilizes it on the agricultural side. And so we've been working, trying to influence them. They want to cut it severely. Actually, Teresa and I and Stephen took a drive to Columbus one day and testified on that in front of that committee for that funding. So we'll see what happens. The state budget's really up in arms with a lot of different things right now. And we're watching it closely, and the LIA and others are trying to influence them to do the right thing in our eyes. So the West Bank Playground Shutter House, if you haven't been out there yet, the playground's in. This is a real photo of it. We did get criticized, and we thank Van Tilburg Farms. They put it, installed it at no cost to us. They put it in one of their many ways that they love to give back to the community. We installed it, but we got criticized because the fence wasn't up right away. So we got, thanks to Brad. Brad was actually, he's a great partner on this as well with the LIA. He got the fence contractor out there really quick. We got the fence up, as you can see in the one photo. So what happens now, if you go out there and look at it, it's out the West Bank by the launch ramp, just east, or east of the launch ramp. If you look, the fence is just basically like on three sides. The side that's open towards the parking lot is where the shelter house is going to be built. The shelter house is ordered. It'll be the same as the ones you see when you drive down Lakeshore Drive, the newest ones that Sline has put in. The shelter house is ordered. We're here in September, right, Brad? I think September is delivery on that. And Brad Fisher has worked with McGilvery, construction teacher out at TriStar. And TriStar is actually, we thought they were just going to build the shelter house, but now Brad's talked to them. They're going to pour the concrete also. So they've already been through their test run. They built one at Wright State, which I think was identical, wasn't it, Brad? Yeah. So hopefully all their blemishes, if they had any, were out there. But anyhow, they're going to be putting it up. So a great partnership, and TriStar does that at no cost to us. So huge shout out to everybody that's been involved with this. Ted talked about the financial aspect. I think that's on my next slide. Sorry. Our latest couple donors that we had on this were Wabash Mutual Telephone here in Salina, and Arm Corp, which is on 703 east of town here. Those are some recent donations we got. We'd still like to collect about we'd like to get about $4,000 more in donations on this project. So we sent a couple solicits out. Or if you know anybody who'd like to be a part of this, feel free to drop me their name or whatever, and we can talk to them. So as you can see, a lot of partners on this, putting this together. So it's about a $86,000 project with the playground, the gravel, everything involved in the shelter house. It's just shy of $90,000. So that's going to be a great project when it's done. I've talked to some parents who have had their kids out there. Dylan's wife in particular, she had their two young ones out there, what, 2 and 4, right? And she said it's perfect. She said the slides are great because a lot of slides, she said, they just stop. These actually have a tail, so the kids don't just end up in the pea gravel. They actually stop. They're still on the slide. So that's great. So thanks to all of you for your support, because we did put your membership dollars, some of your membership dollars into this as well. Next thing up is the All Abilities Playground that we're working on. This is going to be on the East Bank, Dave, right, by the first shelter house, correct? First shelter house there on the East Bank, where we have to host our kids' fishing derby. The playground is here. It was secured with some grant dollars, working with Auglaize County DD. And so right now we're getting quotes and looking at the fall material that needs to go under it. So that the playground is in. Dave's getting quotes on the fall material right now, and we're looking forward to getting that installed sometime later this year. Barstool Open's coming up August 9th. If you don't have any of your calendars, get it in your calendars. You all know it's a great time. Show of hands, how many people have participated in the Barstool Open? How many people have judged the Barstool Open? I've judged it for years, and those showing their hands have judged it. It could be probably the most fun to judge it. That's my little plug to get you to volunteer to judge. We need judges, and we need some judges. So it's fun to judge. I've even judged with Dick Sherrick here myself. Dick's always at its, right? Yeah. Always at its. Donna's a floater. She goes around a little bit everywhere. But it's a great time to judge because you get to see everybody. You get to see in the morning, you get to see them, you know, in pretty straight form. And then later in the day, you get to see them in a rare form. So it's a good time. But if you're not going to participate, which I hope you do, please consider being a volunteer judge, and you can contact me if you'd love to do that. Brian Morris, once again, put together a great poster. We're going to be getting those out soon, and the sign-up packets will be out to the bars in the next couple weeks here. So looking forward to that. Like I said, that is our second largest fundraiser, and it is just an awesome, great day. Next thing to talk about is our Grand Lake Trails. We've got a new website, and this is just, what is it, grandlaketrails.com? Pretty simple, grandlaketrails.com, if you want to look it up. This was a brainchild of Matt, Teresa, and Brian Morris. We've been talking for years that we're getting enough trails with all of our treatment trains out there and some other trails we have in the community. And when we kicked this off, just using our trails at our treatment trains, I was thinking about this morning, there's a fishing derby on the south side I'm going to talk about here in a minute, but, you know, a lot of us like to have a fishing pole around and hopefully a life jacket and take our grandkids fishing, right? Or our kids, grandkids. I think most of us in here are grandkids. Dylan, I guess, is kids. But another thing to really think about taking your grandkids out to do when they come to visit is go out and visit one of these trails. And so you can go to this grandlaketrails.com. It's going to show you pictures of those treatment trains, of the trails. It's going to tell you the length. It's going to tell you where it's at. But this is just going to be a great promotional tool for us for that ecotourism, which a lot of times we don't think about. We think about the lake and all the people it brings, but I can tell you, I live adjacent to the Coar Creek treatment train, and it's amazing the number of people that I see walking it, and I look at them, and I look at them like, yeah, I don't know them. And, they're out-of-town people. And some of the birds, I mean, this birding is like one of the fastest-growing things next to kayaking that there is out there. And it's just unbelievable. I've talked to some of these folks that come from other states because of some of the shorebirds that migrate through here, and they use these treatment trains because they have mud flats. But so put that in your places to look. Go out when you get a chance. Go out and look at this, grandlaketrails.com. And I give a shout-out to Teresa, Matt, and to Brian for pulling that together. Brian actually designed the website, and it's linked to the Lake Improvements website. So if you forget, just go to the Lake Improvements website, It's linked to Matt's website, so we've got it linked to several different websites. But it is a unbelievable thing that come together really quick. So shout out again to Brian for designing it and for everybody for being involved. So this starts you, Matt. So I want to turn the floor over now to our Grand Lake Region Director, Matt Stogler, for a report.
Thanks, Brian. Good morning, everyone. It is a beautiful day out. Brian Morris was kind enough to reach out. You need this closer. Reach out a couple weeks ago and invite me to come and give a little update on tourism, our sort of a recap of our 2024 and what we've got going on for 2025. We did celebrate National Travel and Tourism Week last month in May, and that was sort of the theme for our annual meeting as the CVB to kind of recap a fantastic 2024 season for us. Obviously, we try to bring folks to the region and get them to stay as long as we can. So we work very closely with our hotel partners to try to fill up their rooms. The average day tripper spends about $150 a day when they visit, but an overnight visitor spends about $350. So you can imagine the impact on our economy. The longer those people stay, the more money they spend at our small businesses. And so that's good for us and good for our area. Last year, we had a 23% increase in hotel stays in Mercer and Auglaize County. That was the largest year-over-year increase in 15 years and the largest amount of gross hotel receipts that we've ever had in our region. So literally more people than ever before are coming to our area than we've ever seen. So that's a great thing for us. It's hard to try to figure out how to maintain that momentum. And I think this was something that I shared the last time that I was here, but we can actually quantify the impact that those visitors have on our economy. And we know this from the Ohio Department of Development. They do a economic impact report for every county in Ohio. And for our area, which is combined Mercer and Auglaize County, it's a $268 million annual economic impact that visitors have coming here and spending money here. That supports almost 3,300 jobs in our area. 5.5% of all employment in Mercer and Auglaize County is supported by tourism and visitors coming here and spending their hard-earned money right here in our own backyard. So it's very important, this industry that we do, try to keep it as strong as we can. And so those are really big numbers. For us, it's our job now to figure out how do we maintain that momentum? How do we keep people coming back? How do we continue to maintain our region as top of mind for them when they're making their travel plans for the year? One of the things that we launched this year is our brand new visitor's guide. I've got a couple copies here if anybody hasn't picked these up yet, but we totally reimagined this for 2025. It's definitely heavier on inspiration, very photo heavy. We really want this to be part of the decision-making process for people when they're making their travel plans. We want this piece to influence people to decide to travel here rather than just be a purely informational piece. We print 22,000 of these every single year. They're all across the state, all across the Midwest. We've already distributed over 18,000 of them. So I'm hoping that they'll last through the year because we're well ahead of where we were certainly last year. And the response so far to this has been really terrific. Probably one of the most visible things and changes that we made for 2025 has been the launch of our new brand. And you may have seen this in some of the marketing that we've put out recently. As we were going through the ideation phase of how to sort of take us to that next level, the concept of space kept coming up a lot. If you know Mercer Auglaize County, we've got plenty of wide open spaces in our areas, being a large, agricultural community. But we also have Grand Lake St. Mary's, the largest inland lake in Ohio, where there's plenty of space to stretch out and relax and soak up the sun. But on the other side of the region then, in Wapakoneta, we literally have a piece of space at the Armstrong Air and Space Museum. So for 2025, we're inviting our visitors to find the sun and the moon in Ohio's Grand Lake region, and that's how we're going to market now. And we're being a little tongue-in-cheek, you know, with a lot of our marketing. We're not Key West, we're West Ohio. We're our own unique, special thing. And so when people come to our area, they discover what we're all about for the first time. I know that's something Jared Ebbing says a lot. You know, if we can just get them here, they'll understand how special this place is, and we truly believe that. This is an example just of some of the creative that we have out right now. Both of these are actually billboards that are up in Indian Lake right now, which I really like. So, again, playing up that tongue-in-cheek, no, we're not Florida. You know, we're something different and special. I love that ad with the kids at the Armstrong Museum, grab the kids, honey, we're taking off for the day, a little bit of a play on that space theme. So when you launch a new brand, you know, there's a little nerves on how is this brand going to be received? What kind of engagement are you going to get as this sort of gets out sort of in the ether? We launched this new brand on April 1st. And the initial results have been really great. For April, our reach on Meta, which is Instagram and Facebook, that's where primarily we spend a lot of our efforts on social media. There's most of our audience, the biggest audience is there on those platforms. They also have the most robust ads platform as well. So our reach on those platforms was up 88% versus April of 2024. And we had a million content views just on Meta alone. So our content was shown to people a million times just in the month of April. And we saw a 26% increase in web traffic versus April 2024. I was a little nervous that momentum wasn't going to continue in May. You just don't really know what you're going to get. But it's been actually accelerated since then. Our Meta reach in May was up 144% versus May of 2024, and we had over 1.5 million content views in that month as well. And that led to a 41% increase in our web traffic. So more people are seeing this branding than ever before. We've also expanded the markets that we're doing paid media in. So this is sort of these are sort of the typical markets. That we're in. Dayton and Cincinnati are our number one markets, but we've expanded and started putting paid advertising in the Columbus market now. And so we're sort of competing for those travelers who otherwise maybe would go to Buckeye Lake or Indian Lake. We want them to come to our lake now. And so we're seeing a lot. Actually, Columbus is our number one market that is seeing our paid media right now. So that tactic, I think, is really paying off. So this has been wildly successful. Again, it's still very early, but we're very, there's a lot of confidence that this brand is really gonna do a lot of things for us, again, to help take us to the next level. So people are seeing that out in on social media, in other media that we have. So one of the things that we also wanted to try to engage folks in is not only are they seeing this when they're making those decisions to come here, but how do we engage the brand when people are here, not only visitors, but locals as well. You know, we want locals to buy into this brand as well. So we recently printed some new light pole banners. These will be going up on West Bank Road, right by Boardwalk, from Boardwalk all the way down to the spillway. We partnered with the city of Salina to do this. These are getting printed right now and should be here, we hope, next week to get up for the rest of the summer season. But just, again, a great extension of our brand with some great fun sayings, and hopefully it gets a little bit of attention as well. We also printed brand new windows decals and stickers for a lot of our businesses. So if you're a business owner here today, I've got some of these as well. If you want to put them in your door, your front window, this is just a little play on words that ties into our website, but also a few of the things that you can actually see when you're here. Sun, fun, wows, cows, space, place, eagles, boats, floats, palm trees, even Bigfoot. So Hopefully, again, some of the locals, there are things here maybe they don't even know that we have, and hopefully it gets them excited and exploring, you know, our website and things. So travel and tourism is a big deal for us. It supports our local economy. I know our hotels here in town are booked up today. The Best Western sold out this weekend. West Bank Inn sold out this weekend. The Quality Inn at St. Mary's is sold out. The Dream at Eldora is certainly helping with that. But I was at Boardwalk Grill yesterday and just rounded the corner and parked right behind the restaurant. I didn't even get back behind the cottages, but just in that little circle, there were license plates from Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Alabama. And those people are here spending their hard-earned dollars at our small businesses and supporting jobs. And that's a great thing. That's great for our area, and we hope to see that momentum continue all throughout the year. So, can I take questions now, or if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer. Yeah.
So, since COVID, you know, has seen problems about health, especially in restaurants, have you seen that getting better, or have you heard anything about?
Was it labor force that you were asking about? Yeah, the question was about, especially in the restaurant business, you know, how hard is it to find folks? And that's true. We're definitely seeing that. We're not seeing that problem alleviate yet. You know, I think every industry, and if you probably talk to Jared and everybody else, you know, they're all, you know, everybody's struggling to find employees right now. I know the state, the Ohio Travel Association, which we're members of, and that includes restaurants and attractions and zoos, they're working with a lot of career tech, trying to get those certifications in places like a TriStar to get those hospitality businesses in front of kids and let them know that they're not just temporary part-time jobs. You can build real careers in the hospitality industry. So those, you know, efforts are underway. They're working with the State Department of Education and Workforce to try to get some of those careers out in front of kids and help them understand that, you know, you can have a really great career in our industry. And they're not just temporary jobs. So I know those efforts are underway, but it's not a quick solution. But there are things that are happening behind the scenes. I would say there probably hasn't been a huge marked improvement. You know, I think between the labor market is just so tight and competitive right now. You know, when you've got manufacturers out with incentives, you know, promoting you know, jobs that they have as well, it's just a tight labor market. And so we certainly want to help alleviate those things, and I think the industry right now sees education as the best way to do that, to go into the schools and try to get kids interested in those kind of careers. But those efforts are underway. It's just never an overnight fix, unfortunately. So, any other questions? Thank you, guys. Thanks, Brian.
We are so blessed to have Matt Pryor. We had Donna, which Donna, I think most of you know her, maybe don't know, but Donna did join the Board of Trustees for Lake Improvement, which is a great asset for us. But can't thank Matt enough. I actually sit on that board. Dave Fahler sits on that board for the Visitor Center, and just doing a great job, Matt. So keep up the good work. I did reference to Kent's question. I don't see restaurants closing early like they used to during COVID, you know, but they're struggling. They're going to continue to struggle. A lot of people today, they want benefits. You can't blame them, right? And, you know, a lot of times in those service industry jobs, you just don't have the benefits. And that's tough for a company to do. Benefits are tough for any company, right? Anybody who owns a business knows that benefits are a large part of that. But as Matt said, I was just talking to somebody that works at the Bay this week. And they just said, like, this week's just phenomenal. They're just so busy because it's those Eldora people, and they come over and over again. And as Matt said, we'll take it. As long as they're coming up here to Mercer County to spend their money, we'll take it. So next up, we got Dave Fahler with a state park update. Dave?
Good morning, everyone. I hope you're enjoying this beautiful day as much as I am. It's kind of crazy when you look at the weather that we've had from the weekend before Memorial Day to what we've got today. Record low temperatures, all kinds of rain. So just to let you know, lake level is plus 4.80. Rainfall for May was 3.79 inches. Rainfall for the year so far is 8.37 inches. And just a few updates for the park since last month. I don't know if you remember me talking last month. We had 1,200 trees to plant at West Bank. Those did get planted. We planted that day until about 1 o'clock. And then I think we got roughly, this is a guesstimation, about 600 or so trees planted. And then staff went out. Fish Hatchery was kind enough to let us use their cooler. We put them in the cooler, and then we went out, all of the staff and myself went out on Monday, and we spent 5 hours finished planting those. I don't recall if you remember last year in April, we had 400 trees planted by the Girl Scouts. At the DMRA, just on the west side of it. And I was really skeptical to see what their survival rate was going to be. Of course, the spring was nice and wet, but the summer, as you very well know, was extremely dry. We had a heck of a drought last year. Staff did go ahead and they put a pump up there and they flooded the area about four different times. And lo and behold, I would say we had about a 70% success rate for those trees coming up. So, or coming back from this year. I mean, we didn't have a super hard winter, but it is real harsh right there because when we have ice on the lake, that wind coming off the lake is just as frigid as can be. And as stressed as those trees would be from the drought, and then you get the winter that we had, I was expecting them to all be dead, to be honest with you. But a whole bunch of them came out of it, and we're looking good to reforest that little bit of area right there. We did have some of I think it was 86 trees that we planted a couple years ago. Those, we have about three of those that died over winter. I'm not sure what happened there, but we'll get those replaced this fall. Some updates there in the park. We had a forced main break and had to get that replaced or repaired earlier this year. Went to open up the pool, and after we had the floor painted and the pump is shot. So we had to replace that and get it repaired. Camping so far, we've had three weekends that have been completely full, including the non-electric. We've had five weekends where we've been at 95-ish%, including the non-electric as well. Brian happened to mention earlier about the trails. If you guys have not been out on those trails, and the two that I can speak specifically for because I have walked them are the Prairie Creek and Coldwater Creek treatment trails. It is phenomenal. When you look at what Matt put up there, and I'm going to butcher it. Where's it at? Where's those stickers? Fun, sun, wows, cows, space, place, eagles, boats, floats. You can see at least 75% of that right at those treatment trains. It is, if you're a birder, which I am very, very minor in it, the amount of waterfowl and shoreline birds you see, both of them at one point or another have had eagles I've seen. And not just like one or two or three. The one time I went out there, I counted 12. It's just, they're amazing. Deer, almost always you see out there. Sandhill cranes, check them out. That's all I have. Does anybody have any questions for me? Yes, sir.
Speaking of trees, does the state have any, obviously there's a lot of cottonwood and every year the nuisance of the cottonwood is at time of year. Do they do anything for targeting any of the trees?
For what?
Cottonwood trees to try to take some of them down or to address some of that?
So the question was, is do we do anything to decrease the number of cottonwood trees around the area? No, we do not. I can tell you we don't plant any of them. Although the one distributor that we have, he told me, if you guys want cottonwoods, we have plenty of them. I'm like, why would we want cottonwoods? They're a mess. And he goes, well, we have mastered making the male trees. I guess the female trees are the ones that release the cotton. Which I thought they were all of them.
Blame the women.
Sorry, Donna.
They're also noisier.
They make bigger cracks when they fall.
Is that something, though, that to address for something for the state? I mean, I realize everything that's natural.
Yeah, everything. I mean, they're part of natural resources, and we are the Department of Natural Resources. I can't imagine that we would go and specifically cut down or kill cottonwood trees just because they're a mess. I mean, I can't say that it would never happen, but I can't imagine we would do that. You know, if we cut down the cottonwood trees, we'll only have about a quarter of the trees we have around the area. Anyone else?
I do have one more question.
Yeah.
Do you know, does the state have any provisions as far as on the East Bank Road and the walk path? It's been really deteriorating. I don't know if this falls under your guys', but for repaving.
There are provisions. We have not been fortunate enough yet to get that capital improvement line item for that. I can assure you that every time I get the opportunity, I take administration down East Bank Road and show them. We do work with ODOT, so twice a year, I get ODOT to come in and they patch it for us. And then once a year, I get Auglaize County to come in and patch it for us. So we do what we can to keep putting Band-Aids on limb removals, because it is so bad. You're right. But I don't have that kind of money in my budget to make those kind of repairs. To repave it?
Yeah.
I
know something like that to do with asphalt to do a job like that. I mean, I'm not sure who put it in initially.
Brian put it in initially.
I mean, it gets used a lot. It's a lovely path and dug in and leave all the bombs and it's deteriorating.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Just to address your question about the East Bank Road. So everybody knows what he's talking about, the East Bank Road right there. Just East Bank Road, which is just east of or west, between 364 and the lake. It goes to all the shelter houses, and then it's very deplorable, has been for years, even when I was park manager. And then if you go out to the west bank and you drive south of the spillway, you know, and you get back into the state park, it's in pretty poor condition as well. I take my LA hat off, put my commissioner hat on real quick. That is something I've talked to Dave about, and I'm going to get with, as a Mercer County commissioner, we're going to get with all Glaze County commissioners. So this year is an operational budget for the state, and next year will be a capital budget. And we as commissioners are going to work on trying to push a capital budget request through to help the state park. What happens is the state park, I mean, through my background, I know this, the state park gets a small amount of money from ODOT each year, and it is very small. Then they try to spread it across all the state parks they have, and ends up being peanuts. So they have to pick one project, and just the rotation, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So from a tourism aspect, once again, our people come here, we got all these great things. You go by the boardwalk, you got palm trees, right? As Matt says, and all these great things. And you got a great boat ramp and facility down there, and we're building a shelter house, but you got to drive across the piece of crap road to get there. So I recognize that, and we are going to take that serious, hopefully. So, but once again, we'll need the cooperation of the people in Columbus. So with that, Teresa is up next with an Ag and Natural Resources update.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. So I put a flyer out on the tables. Sorry if not everybody can take one home, but it's up here, and I'm happy to share further. I think the LIA posted it as well. We're going to be doing a wetland tour on Saturday, July 19th. We'll be starting at the Little Chickasaw Creek boat ramp and then traveling to, I believe, the Gilliland wetland along Club Island Road, and then stopping at Prairie Creek wetlands, and then finishing at Windy Point. There is a free lunch available. We just ask that you RSVP to the Soil and Water office. And we also will be doing a wildflower and wetland plant identification activity for kids or anyone, which we'll have a prize at the end. We are doing this in conjunction with Ohio Wetlands Association. I am on their board, so they'll be hosting their annual meeting with this tour as well. We're also hosting the state directors on June 25th, coming up here in just a few weeks, giving a tour again around the east side of the lake, including a couple new projects and getting a tour of the fish hatchery. This is a picture from 2 years ago when we hosted the state directors. Mary Mertz and Brian Baldridge are the active ODNR and ODA directors, and then Ann Vogel has since moved on to US EPA. So the new director, John Logue from EPA, will be out here as well. And I've been told that the Department of Health director is coming as well. So hopefully we'll get some good interaction with the state agencies on June 25th, show them the great new projects that we have, talk about long-term water quality and what we need to keep doing to improve water quality moving forward. Just wanted to share some quick tidbits that Stephen had shared on the wetland performance and the volume of water that's being pumped. I know Coldwater Creek has been ramped up since this date of May 19th. It was running at about 1 million, and I believe that's been ramped up. And then Prairie Creek's running at about 1.5 million, and Beaver Creek at 0.5, which is maxed out at that location. And then Big Chickasaw at about 500,000 to 600,000 gallons per day. But you can see the reductions in nitrate and phosphorus that we're getting at that point in time, upwards of that 50%, which is great to see. I'm going to talk a little bit about Prairie Creek and some modifications we're looking at to help improve that site. Beaver Creek, we did submit a grant application to add another pump so we could double that volume from 500,000 to 1 million. We've got a large area at Beaver Creek, so we can certainly handle more capacity there. So at Prairie Creek, I know this is really hard to see, but I went out and took some survey data this week, and I will say, if you're looking for snakes, that's the place to be. I think there was a dozen snakes in that settling pond. So, yeah, not my cup of tea, but I think I jumped a few times. So what we'd like to do is look at expanding. So we have phase one and phase two out there, and they're operated as independent systems. And we're not going to change the inflow of water, but what we would like to do is enlarge that pond and make it one. We would still have a mechanism to measure flow going over and calculate those reductions on each side. But we could get it deeper. Right now it's maybe 4 foot deep. We don't see great sediment reductions. I think because of that, if we could get it deeper and have more space for sediment to settle out in that first settling bay like we have at our other sites, we could really improve those numbers, which in turn affect the total phosphorus numbers. The other thing we want to do is at the inlet station way down on the channel itself, where we're pulling water from the channel, is move that intake back to help get more sediment to pass by versus going through our pumps. We have a very high pump maintenance bill at this site every year. So we want to spend some money up front to try to get less money in pump maintenance year after year. So those two things combined should help improve performance. I was trying to put an estimate together to see what this would cost, and I'm currently looking for ways to fund that. I have a few ideas. When the Lake Restoration Commission meets next, we will put our heads together and figure out our best path moving forward. I envision this happening this fall and winter after we're done pumping water for the season, and hopefully have all these things done for next year. I mentioned this last month, but wanted to bring it up again. VTF Excavation was awarded this project over at Red Wing. It sits adjacent to the Red Wing Nature Trail at the State Park in Auglaize County. We're going to be building a wetland complex there. I believe they moved in some equipment, just started mowing and taking out just the smaller trees that are in the way. And hopefully they'll get going here in July with excavation and get these new wetlands constructed. It should be able to pump about 500,000 gallons a day for treatment from the lake directly. So we're excited to get that started and get things moving on that project. This was funded through H2 Ohio. Our newest project, I don't know if the name of this will change, but we've called it the Harmon Project because it sits near Harmon's Landing in Auglaize County. The goal of this project is to treat water from Barnes Creek. Barnes Creek is the only tributary that does not have treatment wetlands on the creek. So the goal here, it's about a 51-acre site. We are set to close on this property on June 24th. We received Clean Ohio funds for the land purchase. And then right now I'm in just the process of putting together an estimate and then going for funding. Ideally, H2 Ohio would be my first pick for a funding source. As Brian mentioned, there's been some proposed reductions to that program that could impact our ability to get funding for this project, but we have a pretty good track record of being successful in getting projects done in a timely fashion, so I hope that it doesn't and that we can proceed as we had kind of planned for this project. We've got a lot to do on this project. Like I said, we're just closing on the land, but it should all come together and hopefully we'll see some things happening next year at this location. Last thing I wanted to throw up here was the long-term data for the microcystin monitoring. Again, this comes from the Salina Water Treatment Plant. This includes this week's data. So you can see we did have quite a spike right after we had that last large rain event in May. It has since come back down quite a bit, but we keep this updated on a weekly basis. I know Brian puts it on the website when he can, So it is available on the LIA website if you had want to see this or share it with others. I think that's all I have. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Teresa. I will tell you, when I went up to the Capitol with Teresa, or to the State House with Teresa and Stephen, it was quite an honor. I mean, Teresa is, she is very renowned in the State House. I was like, wow, I'm with somebody here. So, but no, I'm very blessed. Teresa is a county commissioner. She does work directly for us. The commissioners made a great move years ago when they decided to keep her. Then somebody tried to hire her into this role, and then somebody tried to steal her. So they're like, no, you're not going to steal her. So we're very blessed. We're very blessed by a lot of people, but you know, Teresa just keeps looking for new ways to do things, and we're just blessed to have her. And Red Wing, just to mention, you know, it's not going to treat a tributary, but we're going to pull water directly out of the lake at the St. Mary's Boat Club, run through those wetlands and drop it back in. So puts you know, another system over on the northeast corner of the lake. So that's great. So with that, if you after this, if you want to see something that's very touching, you run down Windy Point Road. The South Shore Sportsman's Club from over on Club Island Road is having their annual kids fishing derby today. I stopped in there this morning before I come here and I asked them how many years, and they couldn't remember, but it's well over 50. That's actually how the South Shore Sportsman's Club got started. Was they hosted a bunch of guys hosted a fishing derby many, many years ago, and that's how their club got started. But I got a text just a little bit ago. There are over 350 kids registered, and they fish from 10 to noon. They give all the kids a lunch. It's just phenomenal. Every kid gets a prize. The kid, I think they got three different age groups, boy and girl, and whoever catches the most fish gets a bike. So that's a great event that's been a long-standing tradition here on Grand Lake St. Mary's. So is there any questions for anybody? Any questions at all today? So there's one dredge out over off the West Bank that's dredging. The other one is Windy Point Channel. It's going up the Windy Point Boat Launch Ramp Channel. And then I think staffing issues, right, Pump A Little's not running right now. Correct, Dave?
Yes.
Correct? Okay. So we're hoping to get Tom here. Hopefully we can get somebody here at a future meeting to talk about, but they are actively dredging with two dredges right now. And from what we've seen, their cubic yard numbers for removal this year have been up to par so far. So if I would, I'm going to do something a little bit different. Anybody that's an LIA trustee, please stand up. Eric, Seth, even the ones that don't have a blue shirt on today. Oh, sorry. So I just wanted all of you to see your trustees. We've got Cindy here as a trustee. Everybody knows Ted Berkey back there. Him and his wife are our treasurer. Jeff Vossler, our vice. Seth, Eric, Donna, Brian, and Dylan. So I just wanted to see who your trustees were. I assumed you knew, but just want to make sure you knew. If you ever need anything, a lot of these folks live in your neighborhood. You see them at the Moose, the Eagles, wherever, Shingle Shack, where you might see them. If you've got an idea, you're afraid to bring it up here, bounce them with your idea. We meet once a month. We have an executive board meeting once a month, and we work on a lot of stuff at those executive board meetings. Sometimes they can get quite lengthy, but I want to thank all of them for what they do. As you can imagine, they don't get a paycheck. So our next meeting, we'll have no July meeting. So our next meeting is August 2nd, and our presentation is going to be on history of the Miami Erie Canal and Grand Lake St. Mary's. So you don't want to miss that. Bring your friends. With that, Jeff, do we have a 50-50? $27 to the winner today. Come on, Boyd. Pull the right ticket, Boyd.
Last three digits, 968.
Who's got 968?
968.
Oh, boy. Kent. All right. Thanks, everybody, and enjoy this beautiful weekend that we're having so far. Thanks for coming out today.